Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gilcast. You are either listening to this on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast feed or the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Football feed. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by Nate Noling and Sammy Reed. And guys, we really just as a group, we need to apologize to the listeners. We have not been giving them what they want. The people tune in for us losing. And I just was kind of sitting on the couch yesterday watching the games, and I really realized, I mean, this has collectively got to be the best year we've ever had. I think this is 8 weeks in a row for me cashing the massive $50 double up. No, there was actually 1 week where I didn't, where I was in a big chop and I only got like $64 back or whatever in. But guys, we are not delivering what the people want. The tilt factor has been too low on this program.
The people have to be really pissed off at every single week, Nate turning over an insanely dumbass lineup and just like crushing every week. I mean, this has to be getting old.
It's got to be tiring, because it's even tiring for me of like some of these head to heads. It's like, come on, like this is really what the people are playing. But I mean, when no one in the field wants to play Garrett Wilson because they're scared of a little bit of rain.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Nate. Dude, we got to put him in jail, Davis. This is egregious.
Like straight fucking jail, Nate. All right, so these were the scores this week. Nate N, who, if you want to play him on DraftKings, if you're listening to this going, this guy fucking stinks, I'm going to take his money. This is how you can play Nate. You have two options. One, you can DM him on Twitter.com and you can say, Nate, send me a game for X amount of dollars to DraftKings username. Or you can add him as a friend. I don't even know how to do that. There's some sort of social thing on DraftKings, but you can add people as friends. But Nate scored 163.2 points. I scored 158.42 points. Whirling Dervish scored 154.3 points. And we all played different teams. We all played pretty differently. You guys both played Jake Browning. I did not. We all played Kamara. We all played Zach Moss. We all played Rashee Rice. And we all played McCaffrey. And that was it. That was the only overlap we had. So we all had different.
But we all had the same construction. And I think
the main 2v2 was like the Kamara wide receiver versus Keenan. Like Keenan.
Right.
CD.
We didn't.
So we
yeah,
all
we
went
didn't play
the same
CH.
Way.
And that was, I mean, that was so key because, dude, you got to figure it out. Like, if you've been playing DFS for years, you have to know what Donkey Chalk looks like. You have to be able to identify Donkey Chalk. And that's what CEH was. He embodied Donkey Chalk.
I would have played Clyde Edwards-Helaire had Taysom Hill not been ruled out almost 100%.
I would have too. And the thing is, sometimes you eat the Donkey Chalk because everybody else is going to play it. And it's cheap and it makes the rest of the lineup work. And that's great. I was also going to play CEH, but in retrospect, I'm actually disappointed in myself because if we didn't get Taysom Hill out, which obviously bumped up Kamara's projection, what we should have done is still not played CEH and played Rashad White.
Well, yeah, Rashad White would have been the play, but I mean, essentially, like anytime you can get off of ownership, you have to do that for a spot that you feel good about. And so with Kamara, it was easy to get off of the CEH ownership, where without Kamara, I do think I probably would have played CEH just because I don't think deviating from ownership long-term is plus EV in cash, unless you feel great about that spot. And the Kamara thing was easy, but if it wasn't for the Kamara news on Saturday night, I mean,
So the problem with Rashad White, we've been playing this guy for weeks. His role is completely outrageous. He's, you know, I mean, just basically second to McCaffrey right now in like overall workload. And he was what, 6.8 on DraftKings?
Yeah, but he got his first price hike of the year.
Yeah, it was weird. He wasn't really popping in the projections. Like he was fine, but most weeks it's like, dude, you got to play Rashad White. He's just a smash. He got this price hike and it's like he was fine. And I originally had him when I first made my shell early in the week. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, Rashad White, before projections even came out. I was just like, oh, yeah, that's easy. And then projections came out and he was not a must by any stretch. And I'm kind of wondering why not. Like, I, you know, obviously there's a lot of things that get baked into projection, but like, why was he not?
Because he gets 19.6 every week, but he does it on like dog shit efficiency. And so you need him. It's just very hard to project a guy for like 24 touches in a game. Like even McCaffrey doesn't really project for that many touches in a game. And it just seems to keep happening.
You actually look at projections, he doesn't look that much different from a guys that he was priced around with, Joe Mixon and Josh Jacobs, or like there's other guys who get similar volume, and he was like in a price tier where he wouldn't have meaningfully separated. Yeah. So,
all right. Well, that's fair. I mean,
well, just in general though, I think we should go high level. This was like a pretty wild slate because I didn't really feel good about anything. Like the only stone locks I thought existed on the slate, really, I just thought it was McCaffrey and Zach Moss. Outside of that, you could have talked me into almost anyone else. I think I cycled through like four tight ends. Now, likely would have been stone cold, like you don't even think about it, had there not been weather stuff. Now, what ended up happening with likely was the total, I think Sunday morning was like 36, and then it got bet up because the rain started to clear, like the weather just wasn't as bad. Hand up on this one, I did get saved from playing Brevin Jordan again by the weather for that game, because I probably would have played Brevin Jordan. Actually, I was so close to just like getting zeroed out yesterday because I had the Clyde Edwards-Helaire Keenan Allen variation of my team,
and we talked you out of it.
when I woke up it was pretty clear that it was Kamara, but I thought Rice was a lock as well. I mean, I know that we talked a lot on Sunday morning about how Rice had a range of outcomes that maybe wasn't a lock, but for me in this spot, Rice was 100%.
We should talk about Rashee Rice, because Rashee Rice in the massive $50 double up was the most owned wide receiver. He was the third most owned play of the entire slate, 73% of rosters in the massive $50 double up. And honestly, you could have told me that he Justin Watson this game, like straight up 0 points, and I would have believed it. Like,
I know, I think, but don't look at results. Like what I was trying to say was like, this is a type of guy that you want to play. Like, based on the fact of the game environment, based on the fact that he's connected to Patrick Mahomes, based on the fact that he's a talented rookie,
yeah, whose overall he's share of the offense is going up. To the 18th best quarterback in the NFL. It's good for him.
No, this is a spot that, like, even if he zeroed out, I would have been fine.
Oh, man,
like,
Davis is down bad right now.
I don't let real-life Chief stuff affect me that much in general, but, like, I couldn't sleep last night. Like, I was, like, pissed off, dude. I didn't get to bed until like 11:30. I wake up this morning, my alarm goes off to go to the gym, and I'm just like, motherfucker, I can't believe this shit. Like, I'm so mad, dude. And I'm not, I need to be clear, I'm not mad that Kadarius Toney lined up offside and the refs correctly called it. Like, the ref just did their job. Like, whatever.
Yeah, dude was a yard offside. Like, what you doing?
Honestly, the thing there's two assets to this. The first is that I'm so terminally online that every time the Chiefs lose a game, I'm like, well, Mahomes will never be called the greatest player of all time now when he retires in 15 years, because Brady never would have lost like that, you know? And then the other element is it wipes off literally what would have been the coolest play of the Kelce Mahomes era Chiefs. I mean, that would have been the coolest play they ever had. And it's so Chiefs, right? To just be like, high leverage spot. We don't give a fuck. We're doing dumb shit. We're doing the ring around the Rosie. We're doing, Kelce's lateraling the ball to like the worst player in Chiefs history. And it gets wiped off by a pet. I saw the flag. I literally yelled at my wife from the other room. I was like, you have to see this. You have to come see this replay. I thought the flag was going to be defensive offside or something. Like, I did. I was like, wide receiver offside.
I can't remember a high leverage spot where a play was ruled that. Like,
it
was the right call, but
it was the right call.
I can't.
You want to know what's weird? They called an offensive offsides in the night game too. On a tush push, I think.
Well, that was I guarantee you that was Roger Goodell saying, you guys better eagle eye that shit. And if there's another one, because I do not want to deal. I'm not trying to deal with the Chiefs, like, you know, playing this game under protest or something. I mean, and it's obviously extra frustrating because Now it means the Bills are probably going to be in the playoffs, which means the Chiefs might have to play the Bills in the playoffs, which is super not
which
optimal.
Which is good for football. I've sure. never seen Patrick Mahomes tilt like this. Like, Patrick Mahomes is off his rocker, bro. Well,
if you think about it, and I know, we'll get back to lineups here in a second. If you think about it, the dude has faced like almost no adversity in the NFL. He's never played a road playoff game, you know? So like, he just has to be looking around. Like, coming to work for him is probably miserable right now. Like, he's just like, fuck. Everything's on me. I throw these dimes. Sky Moore runs the wrong route. Kadarius Toney lines up offside.
MVS drops deep touchdowns that, like, I mean, that's twice. It would have just been like game over. Patrick Mahomes did it. Oh man.
I saw a tweet yesterday that Chiefs wide receivers now have either committed a penalty, a drop, or a turnover to end four games this season for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Not great. Not great. I mean, these guys like have just like been winning Super Bowls and hosting every AFC championship that exists. I mean, God, like, sure. God forbid. In a league with mad variants that they experience a little bit.
Now, what will be most frustrating to me would be as if this all works out and the Chiefs have this lost season and Lamar still doesn't find a way to make a Super Bowl, you know, like if the Chiefs are completely out of the way and it's, you know, like the 7-seed Cleveland Browns are in the AFC Conference Championship or something, like, God forbid,
Flacco leads the Browns, like, that would be something.
It really would. Okay. Back to the lineup. So these were the key decisions. Quarterback, there were three guys in play: Justin Fields, Brock Purdy, Jake Browning.
Four guys. Joe Flacco. You guys, I originally had Flacco with the CEH lineup, and it was going to be glorious.
Flacco was 1% owned in the massive $50 double up. So I'm going to go ahead and say that was not a popular decision.
$4.7K, goat of all goats. I mean, come on. What are we doing here?
I
got to pay $500 more for Jake Browning. Like,
well, what did that money even do? What did the Browning, the Flacco money even do? What did it get?
With CH, it let me get Keenan and DJ Moore.
Sure. So, okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, would have been a bad
time. I wanted Fields. I thought Fields was the best of that group.
Yes.
However, when you played Fields, that mean you couldn't play Isaiah Likely, and you had to play Brevin Jordan or Cade Otton.
Yes. And the thing is, if you know ball, you play Isaiah Likely.
Yes,
that's
correct.
That's it. You look at the projections, it's like, whatever. Like, they're all kind of the same. No. If you know ball, you must jam in Isaiah Likely.
Yeah. I thought Likely was when the weather concerns were, now I don't want to say they were gone, but when they were lessened, I thought he was in a tier of his own at tight end.
With tight ends, because their ADOTs aren't like that far downfield. I know Likely's is going to be a little bit more because he's more of a
receiver.
That's
the thing, is Likely is more of like a real now with, yeah, I guess, but the argument you could have made was for Brevin Jordan, the range shouldn't matter that much because he's getting all his shit like 4 yards from the line of scrimmage.
Right. That's basically, the weather didn't factor in as much to my decisions with the tight ends, basically.
If I was to take an L, tight end is probably where I would take it this week. I didn't feel good about any of these tight ends.
Just the Nate Noling hypothetical L. Oh, you know,
if
I'm not
I was to take
it,
an L,
I did,
this would be where I took it, because I it's not that I think Cade Otton was a bad play, or like the other guys that I was looking at.
He wasn't
at
a bad
was,
play. He just wasn't
was like,
Likely.
I almost looked at Kyle Pitts. I had a Kyle Pitts team. There was a Cole Kmet team. There was like an Everett team. And then there was a Conklin.
Okay.
But I was never going to play
Kmet
two Jets.
Team, so the Kmet team was out there. I saw that team. I actually had that team in for a little bit, but that was a CEH team. I ended up going away from that. But that team, I think that, I forget exactly what the 8-man combination was, but I thought that team was fine. The only bad team that I think people could have turned over yesterday, because there were so many things you could have done. Really, I do think the Keenan CH was not, after Taysom was ruled out, I think you had to have Kamara.
I think the CEH thing was just people playing a little scared. I think, honestly, it's people who are playing too much defensively in cash and not enough thinking about upside. The reality of CEH, his upside is just limited in this offense, in this spot. And it's very different than a Zach Moss at the same price tag. It's very different.
Would you have felt the same if McKinnon was still out, if he was still out with his groin injury?
No.
Oh, no.
If McKinnon was still out, that changes the whole lock. Thing. I mean, McKinnon is what drastically limits CEH's upside. And so if you played CEH, I think you're just a little scared of, like, I'm just going to play the highest floor lineup and not lose. And I think in cash games in 2020,
you know what it was.
20, that would have worked. But in 2023, that doesn't work.
It was that people hate Drake London. You know, it was fear, because the 2v2 was Alvin Kamara and Drake London versus Keenan Allen and Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
The ceiling on a Drake London versus CEH, like, I get that the floor might look better for a running back that's going to get 10 guaranteed touches. But, like, Drake London and Garrett Wilson, their ceiling is significantly different than these CEH. I don't know. We'll get to the Garrett Wilson thing in a second, but.
Tell the people the lineups, Davis.
Yeah.
Okay. You can go over the. Were there any other key decisions? I mean, defense was kind of a decision. Most people played Cleveland.
I thought as soon as the Trevor Lawrence, like, because I thought he was like less than 10% to play, and then when I found out he was playing, there was no way I was going to continue to play Cleveland's defense, because if people thought Lawrence was healthy enough to play Zay Jones, why are you playing the Browns D? Like, I don't know.
Because the Browns defense is good and Trevor Lawrence is fine.
Hobbled. It was a fine play. What it did for me when Lawrence was ruled in is make it from, like, wow, we kind of have to play this defense, to, they're fine. But
I did not catch until right now that you got away with playing the Bears defense in cash.
I'm a goddamn alpha. Let's go.
It's honestly, actually, the only criticism I would have had of that pre-lock was I thought the Chiefs were the best cheap defense. Turns out that's not true.
Why would you not have played the Jets? The Jets were at their price when everybody's concerned about. But when everybody's concerned about Houston and all this, the rain and all these other things, like, the Jets are a great defense in and of themselves,
so the
even
Browns.
In a great environment.
So were the Browns.
Yeah, yeah. I thought they were both good.
I don't have a problem with any. I don't have a problem. Sammy, you just always show up with the weirdest shit. Like, I bet you were, like, not duped. Like, I bet you go.
I was not duped. I had a very strong opinion that I was not going to get off of.
Which was playing DJ Moore.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't making any lineups without DJ Moore this weekend. Yeah, I wasn't doing it.
I played, he was my, I jammed him in tournaments. So, like, I totally get it. So this was the team that Nate played: Jake Browning, Alvin Kamara, Zach Moss, Rashee Rice, Garrett Wilson, Drake London, Haight Ottten, Christian McCaffrey in the Jets defense. I mean, Nate, no Zay Jones, dude. What are you doing showing up without a guy who got 14 targets at 3,700 and living to tell the tale? I am distraught.
Nate,
I'm so pissed
off. I don't understand this. Nate played Haight Ottten. He played Garrett Wilson. And I, for the life
played,
of me.
He played Garrett Wilson in a monsoon and lived to tell the tale.
Like, holy shit, Nate. Like, get your head out of the spreadsheets. Like, I understand that he looked like a pretty decent value at 5.5, and, you know, the projection was good. You're in a monsoon with Zach Wilson, and for some ungodly reason, Zach Wilson threw for 300 yards in the monsoon against a pretty good team. I don't know how this happened. You run hotter than the sun's ass, bro. Like,
right,
that was
egregious.
Let's
talk about this. Garrett Wilson.
I don't even see how you didn't play. I guess you played Browning and Wilson over Purdy and Zay Jones. Is that? I guess that's right.
How do you not play Zay Jones and Purdy? Like,
okay,
oh my
so
God.
Let's talk about Garrett Wilson.
You should have got the blade yesterday.
Yeah, let's talk about Garrett Wilson.
This is insane.
So Garrett Wilson is third on the year in Whopper behind Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill. Garrett Wilson,
save the line, save the line,
say the line.
Garrett Wilson is literally priced at his floor based on all of these things that you guys are talking about. Like, he's $5,500. Yes, it's Zach Wilson. Yes, there's weather concerns, but he is a volume monster in this offense, and he is. Honestly, like, his talent, he's $2,000 underpriced for his talent. And so all of these things that you guys are talking about are baked into his price. Like, He's played with Zach Wilson and awful quarterbacks all year. He's played in crappy situations and still performed and had the volume. And so at 5,500, his floor price, why would I not be playing him when everybody else is playing these wide receivers with no ceiling? So Garrett Wilson and Drake London provided me such a massive ceiling at such a low combined price that it was like, this is the way to build versus taking on these low floor or higher floor, lower ceiling guys. I thought the Garrett Wilson thing at 5,500, like when he was only like 8% owned or 3% owned or something, I'm like, people are just playing.
What was
they? They're double counting. They're double counting. They're double counting is what people are doing. Projections are baked in the fact that Zach Wilson and all of these awful quarterbacks have been his quarterback.
I bet if I go back and look, Garrett Wilson was not in the top 100 aggregated optimals.
I would hardcore disagree with that. People would have had to exclude Garrett Wilson unless they're using some insane projection.
I didn't see Garrett Wilson in any sites shit yesterday.
I would dig into the numbers. I'm telling you, he was like a top three, top four wide receiver value in all of my stuff. Like
on ETR. He was a solid value on ETR.
It would have been something that people excluded him based on double counting. Because when you look at targets, when you look at projection and you just look at like he pops every time. And at 5,500, I'm shocked he wasn't more owned. It's because people are double counting, because people are saying, I know better than the projections, even though the projections are already factoring in everything that you think that you know better.
And that is what I said. I do know better. But the reality is, like, you're just looking at this median projection. You have to know that in this kind of weather with Zach Wilson, the floor is insanely low.
There was straight
low.
Up a risk of him getting zero DraftKings points.
100%.
Yesterday. Yeah.
100%. Instead, Zach Wilson threw for 300 yards. Like, unbelievable.
I don't think you guys have looked enough at Garrett Wilson's season to realize how much he's done with terrible environment all year. Like, he legit at 5,500 is underpriced, like, probably by 1,000. Like,
so, I mean, I will say this. I had Garrett Wilson early in the week. Like, before the projections came out, when I was just building lineups, I agree with what you're saying, Nate. And I was like, yeah, Garrett Wilson, like, this talent at this price is really good. And then the weather came and I'm like, no, I'm not doing it, because the median's going to be what the median is. But like, the range is just going to become so freaking volatile. So I excluded
him. He's got a whopper above 70 in like almost every single game he's played this year. He's got 225 expected DraftKings. Like, he legit is a volume monster combined with his talent, his raw talent. Like, at 5,500, he's so underpriced.
Zay Jones Anybody and Garrett Wilson had the same amount of targets on Sunday. And
we ran really bad with Zay Jones, bro.
I can't believe
I'm not saying Zay was a bad play, but I'm saying, like, I can make
faded,
the same argument.
You faded Purdy, who just auto gets 25 every week. Just comes preloaded with the bonus and with minimum two touchdowns.
Because salary is a thing.
He's better than Mahomes.
Jake Browning is literally throwing at a high.
I honestly
had Jake Browning everywhere. I had Jake Browning props. I had Jake Browning everywhere. Like, because projections, like, Jake Browning was a good play. Like,
man, you are
I actually have no criticism of the Browning thing. I think
I'll say as somebody who played Browning, I was really, really nervous. I did not like playing Browning, and I did it.
No, I felt, I mean, he did kind of get bailed out in a sense of Chase Brown, him dumping the ball off and getting, what was that? I guess
54 like yard touchdown.
Yeah, but what would it have been instead? He would have been chucking the ball to Chase. Well,
he would have gotten 16 points without.
Dude, he smashed and he didn't even use Chase. I think Chase went 3 for 29.
No one on the team had more than 4 targets. I don't have a big issue with the Browning thing. I do think not playing $3,700 A. Jones was just like terrible bad. I really do.
Got to play the monsoon. Well,
Rice was a lock to me. Wilson was great, and so was London. And like, yeah, I don't think Zay Jones was bad, but like, honestly, you know who I almost played?
Was it Rashad Bateman?
Jonathan Mingo. Jonathan Mingo was another guy who projected very well, and his target share has actually been consistent, and it's not like an injury based.
Yeah, that's
projection.
An ultimate.
It's not fragile.
That's an ultimate spreadsheet, not knowing ball play, because Mingo was 27% owned in the massive $50 double up. And I guarantee you each and every one of those 27% people do not know ball, because Mingo stinks and Bryce Young stinks. Bryce Young yesterday had negative 0.3 EPA, not cumulative, per play, which meant that every time he dropped back to pass, the Panthers were losing 0.3 expected. I mean, that is, you cannot play Mingo when, I mean, maybe in a different universe where Christian Kirk didn't tear his groin last week, maybe I would have. Still probably not.
I would have never played Mingo, bro.
Dude, Mingo's DraftKings points over expected is 0.58 over a massive sample. I mean, this dude is legit. Like, you have to discount. Every target he gets is worth a half compared to any other quarterback. Like, yeah. Mingo's volume is, it has to be massively discounted for how bad he is and how bad his situation is. So, like, where Garrett Wilson, it's not even, to make the same comparison is, like, insane. But I did, Mingo was, like, if I didn't play Wilson, I probably would have played Mingo.
Buddy, how many times has Nate, like, been so close to making the most egregious play and then being like, well, so I decided close. Not to so at the last close. Minute. Like, the people have been robbed, I think, every other week in this goddamn podcast.
I mean, I've been in the same spot of, like, almost doing, like, multiple disaster decisions this year. And then just for whatever reason, I mean, I almost disaster swapped yesterday because Kamara, I mean, it actually would have been fine because I, again, would have just swapped to Debo. And that's the secret. I think that's kind
49ers
of the
49ers and the Cowboys, when they play late, we just got to swap onto Debo or CD. Like, it's a free out every week.
Yeah.
It's
easy, so easy game. Okay. We haven't even gone through the lineups, bro. Let's get back on track.
Okay. All right. Shit. I just closed that in the three, man. Let me pull it up real quick.
That's all right. I'll read it.
Yeah. Go for it.
I'll read it. Okay. So, Davis played Brock Purdy, the GOAT. That was awesome. You played Kamara, Moss, and McCaffrey. What you did at receiver was go Rashi Rice, Drake London, Zay Jones. And then you played likely because you know ball and the Browns defense. This was a really good lineup, Davis. I'll just read mine and then we can talk about it. I went down to Browning. So me and Nate played Browning. I did Kamara, Moss, McCaffrey at running back. I played Zay Jones and Rashi Rice, and I went up to DJ Moore. So I made some concessions with my lineup because I felt like I had to have DJ Moore. I really thought this was a letdown spot for Detroit. They almost lost to Chicago the last time at home. Chicago, if you like look at some of the stuff over the last like 4 or 5 weeks, their defense has been playing amazing. And every game that DJ Moore has played with Justin Fields, he has been smashing. And so the thing to me was when we were playing Kamara and McCaffrey, we can't get up to that elite wide receiver tier. And so I thought, who can actually be a legitimate number one receiver at a lower price tier? And to me, that was DJ Moore. I liked London. I played him in a lot of GPPs. He ended up outperforming Moore. So like no hate there. He was really good. But I thought DJ Moore was like a legitimate, if I can't spend a lot of money, who's an actual alpha? And DJ Moore is an actual alpha. So to do that, I went down to the Bears DST at home against Detroit. And they fucked. Like, they sacked Goff four times. They had two picks. They had a fumble recovery. They scored 14 DraftKings points for 2.4. You know, you keep going back to the old adage, some things in DFS don't change. And it's that if you like the rest of your lineup, just find a DST that you think is all right. Like, do not prioritize DST at the risk of other skill position spots in your lineup. I didn't. And obviously ran good to get 14, but that was the concession that I made. And I'm happy I did it. DJ Moore is a complete boss. And he showed it.
Yeah, I got no issue with your team.
Yeah,
your team
is good. Your thought process is sharp. I do think the wide receiver thinking through like alpha and upside makes sense. And I also think, like, you know, we've talked a lot about like this year offensively things are changing. Like, I do think there is a reality to alpha wide receivers being having more ceiling in the past than some of these second wide receivers on an offense. And just the way that NFL defenses are playing these days, I think we're back to the alpha having unlimited ceiling type of things. So
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'll say I really like Davis's lineup too. Like, you know, you just put Purdy in, man. I mean, just like you said, Purdy's just auto 25ing every week.
It's like he's 6,500, but he's got the same ceiling as Lamar and Josh Allen. Like, he really does. I'm not even joking.
No, he's got very few paths to failure. Like, he just like
his like, path to failure would just be that McCaffrey scores all the touchdowns via the rush. That's how he fails in a game.
Yeah.
Or he plays concussed. He had that 3-game stretch where he was playing with a brain injury, and that impacted his production as well.
Yeah, no, brain injury and no Debo, and you can look a little bit mortal.
All right, so I got a little bit of a contrarian potential take that I do think we should actually talk about. CMC at this price, now that they are not playing to get him touchdowns the way that they were earlier in the year where it was like guaranteed, I actually do wonder if we can continue to consider CMC a lock at this price. Like
he had one target.
Yeah, he had one target and
not enough.
Like, I mean, literally, he is getting as efficient. He's doing everything
guys,
he possibly
when Debo is scoring 50-yard touchdowns every single game, there's just not enough plays. There's just
not enough actual plays.
Well, but Debo's not going to score 50-yard touchdowns every week, like probably only half the weeks.
But a lot of what we have baked into Christian McCaffrey's range of outcomes were how they completely changed the offense earlier in the year.
Okay, but if he just scores on that 73-yard rush at the beginning instead of, like, if he goes 76 yards instead of 73, it's fine, you know?
No, our projections still would have to bake in the fact that he's getting way less volume in this offense than he was 4 weeks ago. And his price is going up and up and up. Like, I'm just saying, like, do we need to talk about the fact that CMC has to have like a 1.8 level efficiency to be a good play at these price tags?
The thing that would make me reconsider would be if they were using the other running backs more, if they were actually doing the resting thing that they talked about. Jordan Mason played 6 snaps in a total blowout win. So I get what you're saying. I don't think it's like, I don't think it's dumb, but I just think it's like very easily explained by, yeah, you know, Brandon Ayuk is averaging 37 yards a catch. Debo is scoring every time he gets the ball. I mean, they actually did the thing where Debo got to the 1 yard line and they were just playing with their food. They were like, okay, Debo, you got to the one, so we'll go ahead and give you the touchdown. Like,
yeah. Players coach. We love to see it. You know, it was definitely tilting when McCaffrey breaks off 73 and then gets taken out. It's like, it's the first play of the game, man. Like, this guy's a horse, like, leave him in. Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah.
But what I'm more concerned about, Nate, is not necessarily the goal line stuff. Because I think that'll like ebb and flow. But at the end of the day, like, McCaffrey's going to get his. He's shown to be an elite, elite touchdown maker. And I don't necessarily think that earlier in the season when they were trying to keep the streak alive, that was like such a big thing. Like, we saw it one time where they like really, really went hard to like get it to him. But I feel like most of the other times it's happened fairly organically. What I'm a little bit concerned about, like I said, is the receiving volume that, you know, has not been amazing. Like, he has a lot of games with 3 targets. You know, this week he had 1, the week before he had 4. You know, it's like they have a lot of mouths to feed in the passing game. And one of the things that you really loved about McCaffrey is he was going to get like 5 to 7 targets every day. It's a little bit lower now. So I think on a week to week basis, yes, we can reevaluate, but like there are still the age of running backs today. There are still very few players getting this kind of like high value touch, mad touches, you know, goal line work, you know, all that. Like he encompasses it all. So
he's more valuable because running backs in general are just scoring so much less points. So that's, even like, yeah,
that's the point I'm trying to make. Yeah. Like if you
I'm
look
just
at
saying,
like
over the past 2 weeks, he's had a total of like, he had 9.4 expected DraftKings points this week. And then 16.5 last week compared to earlier in the season where we were seeing like 25s and 30s. And so there is a price tag where it's like, you can't pay for 15 expected points and then pray for 1.8 efficiency that gets you to 25.
For sure. But I will say, I mean, you know, obviously the last couple of weeks haven't been that amazing, but like, I'm just pulling up one of my seasonal leagues right now. Christian McCaffrey, 311 points for the season. The next closest.
No, I'm not talking about results. I'm talking about like inputs into like.
Buddy, like, there's only you don't need to worry about inputs when he's got 50% more points than any other running back on the season.
I'm trying to make a case. We play a weekly game, and trends change quickly, and being able to adapt to them is sharp. But we don't. Yeah, I don't know.
Star fading.
I get what you're saying. I think you are just basically falling victim to the 49ers are the Death Star. They're not playing competitive games. Like if they are in what is the 49ers upcoming schedule? Like that, I think plays a big part in it. So the 49ers are going to play, they're going to play at the Cardinals. That might be a spot where he only gets 16 touches, but then the rest of the season is home to the Ravens, road to the Commanders. I mean, the Commanders defense is so bad, he probably gets there on like 8 touches, and then home to the Rams. Like those are all spots where I would expect. I'm not going to go into any of those other than maybe the Cardinals game being worried about play volume. All right, let's do.
Well, the Niners are going to have a 31 point implied team total in these games. I mean,
right. Yeah. Okay, let's do tournament stuff. So, all my tournament teams ended up not getting there because I played 100% Justin Jefferson. And
wait, I'm so sorry. Can we just talk about Likely for a quick second?
Hey, he was a lock. What do you want me to say? Like, you got to no ball and play Isaiah Likely, who's just playing Mark Andrews' role in the offense.
And is mega fucking athletic and can make giant plays that Cade Otton and Brevin Jordan cannot make. He can break off a 54-yard touchdown.
Brevin Jordan's pretty athletic. That's fine.
He's not Isaiah Likely.
Yeah. I think the thesis with Isaiah Likely played out. I mean, he ran all the routes. I think he got 8 targets. He plays with a great quarterback.
Can't believe you played Cade Otton. Nate.
Can't believe you played, Dusty Cade
old
Otton.
Slow white tight end who like had
Cade
one
Otton's
catch.
Like a second year white. Yeah, he's Cade a second Otton year tight end who old. Had literally 10 expected DraftKings points. He had 5 targets to Likely 7, and 2 of his came in the red zone. Like, don't act like Cade Otton was a low volume just got there. Cade Otton was not.
He's just out there running routes. And
Cade Otton, every week when I do the Monday morning thread, I'm like, oh, he played every snap but 2. He got 4 targets. He got 6
right.
DraftKings points. It's like that's what Cade Otton does.
Yeah. You're just lucky Desmond Ridder decided this was the week he was going to throw for 326 yards and actually like kept the game going.
Yeah.
True. All right. I had no good sweats because I played Justin Jefferson on every team. He got smoked in the chest and had to go to the hospital in the second quarter. He was 8% owned. Honestly, I'd probably make this decision again.
It's mega sharp. Like,
I don't know about mega sharp because it was sharp as shit. I mean, there's a lot of confounding variables. Like Josh Dobbs obviously kind of stinks. You know, he literally got benched for Nick Mullins in this game. Never a great spot in your life if you're getting benched for Nick Mullins. But like, yeah, dome game, Justin Jefferson, one of the highest ceiling players in fantasy. All of my single entry teams, I did Justin Fields, either Justin Fields with Cole Kmet or Justin Fields with DJ Moore. This team in the big red zone, I did Fields and Moore. I also played Bijan Robinson on 100% of my teams. He scaled up to a season high in snaps yesterday. I just kind of had a feeling that it's heading in that direction. I mean, Arthur Smith is actually like Kyle Pitts, season high in route share, Drake London, season high in targets. It was just Drake London's most targets down the field in any game of his career. Like, he's learning. Arthur Smith is evolving.
But they lost. So he's going to go back to getting Tyler Allgeier 15 carries next week. They lost. Like, they finally let Ridder go, and they lost.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally possible. You never know with those things. So this team was Justin Fields, Bijan Robinson, Zach Moss, Justin Jefferson, DJ Moore, Parker Washington, Isaiah Likely, Jahmyr Gibbs, and the Chiefs defense. I did Gibbs. Actually, the Gibbs thing literally should have come to fruition because this lineup was playing for the Bears blowout. Gibbs should have gotten a bazillion checkdowns. He didn't. Really, he didn't because the Lions could not get a first down. Like, I actually think had the Lions been able to get some first downs in the second half, Gibbs would have, it would have been like the Ravens game where I think Gibbs had 8 receptions in the Ravens game, but like Goff looked like he had just learned about football for the very first time. I mean, he was 2% owned. This was, I bet if I plug this in, this is probably negative sim ROI. Too many thin plays. Parker Washington, Gibbs, and Bijan.
Well, I mean, the other thing is DeMont got three catches, which is very high for DeMont.
Yes.
Yeah, that game was weird.
Could have been Gibbs's. They're just like legit chopping. Like, obviously, Gibbs is getting more work in the passing game overall, but like, they're just chopping.
Yeah.
He ran outdoors.
He ran way more routes. Gibbs ran way more routes. He just, Montgomery just happened to get the, I think he doubled up. He doubled up Montgomery in routes. The frustrating thing, obviously, is watching the Lions be behind by 15 points to their divisional rival and be handing the ball off on second and eight to David Montgomery, just being like, what the fuck are we doing here?
Dude, you just have to have a thing in your spreadsheet. Jared Goff outdoors, exclude all Lions. Like, you just can't play anything.
That's what I had in my spreadsheet. Jared Goff outdoors, include Bears DST. By the way, pretty damning. The Jameson Williams breakout is not upon us, as it turns out. One target, dude, in this.
No, but okay, he got there. Jameson Williams had a play, and literally Jared Goff missed him by 15 yards downfield. Jameson Williams is too fast for Jared Goff outside. I mean, it's like, if that was in the dome, Jameson Williams has a 70-yard touchdown. I mean, it's like, he literally had it, and Goff just missed him, not even close.
Yeah, gotta be in the dome, bro.
Yeah, I'm with that. Yeah, really, the only thing's interesting about what I did was I played only Fields in tournaments. That ended up being bad because the move was to just do double stacking Lamar, actually triple stacking Lamar, probably. You just did the triple stack Lamar. You used the Cooper Kupp bring back, boom, $1 million is yours. Justin Jefferson and Bijan. That was the entire thesis of what I did.
Well, that leads really well into my team, because I have some news for you, Davis. A Lamar triple stack does not guarantee money.
Oh my, how did you lose with a Lamar triple stack, dude?
Holy shit.
I bring you one Bateman. Rashad Bateman.
Yeah, Bateman.
Oh no, Nate.
I knew that was coming.
I felt so sharp. When I flipped this lineup and I saw Lamar Jackson 1.8%, Zay Flowers 2%. Rashad Bateman, 0.7%. Isaiah Likely, 18.4%. I'm thinking, just give me the money now. We don't even need to play out this contest. Unfortunately, did not get there.
Shocking.
But yeah, I mean, I felt really good about the Lamar ownership. And I
literally the only piece that blanked. Even OBJ got there.
I know. I mean, I just, yeah. So that was tilting, but because I knew it was going to be low ownership on Baltimore, I was like super chalky with the rest of the lineup. So I had Kamara, I had Moss, I had McCaffrey, I had Zay Jones, and I had Jets D. But it did not. That was like my favorite team. Didn't cash in the spy. So
tough scene. Pretty sharp, Nate. Besides the Bateman thing.
Yeah, live and learn.
I like that. I didn't have the stones to do. I did Lamar and like smaller stuff. I just got it since the theme of the show is transparency. I don't really do this all that often. I max registered the mini max just because I was like, let's ship 150 Mahomes teams. And the first thing I ran into was, and this should have been a dead giveaway, I couldn't get the Sims running 10,000 iterations to give me 150 plus EV Mahomes double stacks.
that might have been a sign.
That might have been a tell. That might have been a tell. So those teams did not win. Did not 150 Mahomes is not what you needed yesterday.
This is why Davis is so tilted about that last play, because he was about to like min cash half his lineups and they all went to zero.
I'm tilted because that would have been it would have been so legendary. Like, Kelsey would have ran off the field in the Taylor Swift's Waiting Arms, and instead we're just watching Mahomes throw his helmet on the sideline. So brutal.
Yeah. What do you got, you know, for us, tilt at refs in his checkered shirt and his press conferences. This is very tough.
Seriously, scene. That press conference, not a look for Mahomes.
Not great. I played Justin Fields in basically all my GPP lineups. This one from the fair catch was probably my favorite, even though it did the worst. I did Fields with DJ Moore. I did not bring it back. I played Bijan Robinson because Bijan's goated, and Zach Moss, because Moss is just like, you know, just going to keep playing Zach Moss and, you know, losing money.
Look, dude, if you love Zach Moss this week, you're going to love him 2 weeks from now at like 29% ownership when he fails again.
Yeah, it'll be great. I played a receiver. I played the aforementioned DJ Moore. I also played Mike Evans, who gets there every week, except for this week. One catch, 8 yards. But I wanted the Bijan and Mike Evans correlation. Thought that game could go back and forth. It did. Not in the way I was hoping. And then I also played Gabe Davis, 0 DraftKings points. And then I played Jerick McKinnon at my flex.
I'm giving you the fish for the week for playing Gabe Davis. I mean,
not great, Bob. Not great.
But I like the McKinnon.
Yeah, the problem is I played London in a lot of lineups, and I could have played London here, but I wanted that Gabe Davis McKinnon, and I just wanted to have the direct, you know, I wanted to have the game, but I also wanted to have the direct CEH leverage, because everyone was so confident that like CEH was the play, and it's like, yeah, Jerick McKinnon.
Actually, now that I think about it, you might have played that game a little too contrarian, like, because you would have needed both Diggs and like the high owned pieces in that game to both fail. And
well, Diggs failed.
Diggs Kelsey, did, but Gabe
Kelsey
didn't.
Basically failed for his salary.
Yeah. So, you know, it is what it is. I also played the Bills defense. So the thesis was that the Bills go up big while Gabe Davis helps them do that.
Gabe and Bill's defense have to be really anti-correlated.
Yeah, the Sims are not in on this team. And frankly, it was a shitty team. It did not cash. Spoiler alert. Scored 120 points. But
we've just been putting out dog shit after dog shit in tournaments. Thank God for cash games, because man, expectations are going to be all out of whack for next year. It's going to be like, we're just going to lose for like months in a row, and just like, there's going to be no end to it. We're going to be late swapping to Debo and he'll get like a carry. I can see it coming down the pipeline. Next year is not going to be our
2024
year.
Is going to be a rough year for us.
Yeah. Let's just ride the wave out, boys. By the way, I also played Isaiah Likely in this lineup. Because I know ball.
You know ball. All right, guys, we're going to get out of here. Thank you for listening. And we'll be back next week.